This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. It's been almost 2 years since the 2014 death of Jason Simkuski, a 35-year-old Marine Corps veteran whose sudden death helped bring to light potential malpractice and other issues at the Tomah VA Medical Center. In that time, there have been quite a few changes at the Veterans Hospital, from new leadership to reopening the medical center's acute psychiatric inpatient unit. Joining us today to talk about these changes and what's next for the Veterans Hospital is Vicki Brom, Acting Director of the Tomah VA Medical Center. So you started this position last October after a lot of change at the Tomah VA. Right. From your perspective, you know, what's been the biggest obstacle in your time at the facility?
Frankly, I think the hardest thing is the fact that the hospital has been so traumatized over the events of the past couple of years that the staff satisfaction and morale has sunk to a very low level. In fact, when I came aboard, the employee satisfaction numbers were at the bottom, if not the second lowest to the bottom, you know, in VA. So we've worked really, really hard to move the staff morale up, and now I'm proud to say that we have exceeded the national average in 8 out of 10 and continue to excel in our satisfaction scores for employees. So I see that we're turning a corner.
And, you know, obviously you weren't at the facility, but what do you think kind of brought, you know, staff morale that low?
The constant media barrage of the negative events that have occurred, the negativity of the VA and the media of late. There are very many dedicated people who come to serve a mission to take care of veterans. So when you have that kind of passion and you've done that, and many have been there for years, it really hurts their morale to hear those reports, have those accusations, because most people are very dedicated professionals at the facility. You know, anywhere you go, there are going to be those that are not. But I think we've dealt with that. I think we wanted to move forward at this point and try and get over the stigma that I think some in the public have.
Right. And so as an outsider coming into the facility, I mean, do you feel like that gave you a fresh perspective on things?
Actually, an outsider to the facility, I've been with the VA for 35 years. I'm very dedicated to the VA. I started as a nurse myself, so I am dedicated to the mission. Coming from a family of 6 brothers and a father all in the military, you know, I am all about the VA and the care that they give to the veterans. I feel that coming from the outside into Tomah, one thing I've learned is that you have to really be there to experience the personality of the medical center and the culture. There are veterans there that are so happy to be there. I must see about 50 veterans every quarter in my office saying, "What can we do to help? I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't be here, you know, if Tomah VA wasn't here, I don't know what would happen to me." So we have a lot of support from the actual veterans that use the system. I encourage people to come and actually experience the medical center, because I think people have an idea of what VAs are like. I think they think of the old-fashioned institutions where you have 10-bed wards and veterans all in one big room, and that's not how it is. Actually, the grounds are beautiful, and the services that are provided are very innovative. So I encourage people to come and visit and really get a better sense of what the VA is today.
And so you aren't the first interim director at the Tomah VA since January 2015. How can the public and employees, you know, really have confidence that lasting changes are being made?
There is a difference. First of all, the previous acting director, John Rohr, and I have known each other for over 20 years and have the same vision. So it was very important that when he moved, he actually said, you know, he wanted me to come in because we think the same, we have the same vision, and we wouldn't change the mission and the vision for the staff. So that was one important feature. I've stayed this long because I'm very concerned about that too. When you come in as an acting, many times you keep things running for a period of a few months. That's not how I did it. I knew I was going to come in. I knew we had to keep on a movement forward. This was a time that was critical for the staff at the Tomah VA. So we actually dug in and made some multiple foundational changes, as well as a brand new strategic plan. We instituted a transitional plan. Let me step back a minute. When John came, he did a 30-day emergency plan to get them through the crisis. And then I came in and we did a 100-day plan to transition us from the 30-day plan to a point where we could show some visible changes and give people hope and trust that indeed things could change. We accomplished about 45 improvements out of that 100-day plan that were actually very impressive. The staff, I think, see now that we can do this and that they can be back on top again like they were before. Now we have a strategic plan that has taken off since the 100-day plan, and we will be updating that in September or October when the VA comes out with their new goals for the coming year. But we did develop a 1 to 5 year plan and how we could move forward. It's very foundational. We went back to redoing the basic organizational structure of the hospital. We looked at the committee structure. We reevaluated it, made it value-laden and lean so that it was very, every committee or council that was in place was accomplishing something. We reviewed every policy that existed in the hospital and redid it, got rid of the ones that no longer needed to be there, and created new ones that did need to be there. We created new programming for staff like our opioid safety initiatives, some of our emergency management training, those kinds of new programs that were top priorities now for us at the Tomah VA. We actually, in the strategic plan, developed several strategies that we would focus on in the next year. Other things would have to go in the parking lot, but the point is that we achieve what we set forth. So all of our resources, all of our objectives, all of our goals were pushed into a strategic direction that the entire staff fed into. So now that we're seeing success in those, I think every time you see another success or another stepping stone that you achieve, it gives the staff more inspiration and more faith that we're going to be okay and that we can do this. I also think it's really helped that we've had some stability in the past year. The acting associate director had been there a year. The acting chief of staff had been there a year. You know, I've been there going on 9 months now. So we are actually achieving great things.
That's Vicki Brahm, Acting Director of the Tomah VA Medical Center, here with us today to talk about improvements at the Tomah VA and what issues still need to be addressed. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so you mentioned the 100-day plan that you guys recently just completed. And I guess what were the biggest things from that 100-day plan?
One of the most impressive accomplishments, I think, has been the staff education and bringing the staff up to a level of service and quality that our veterans deserve. We focused on emergency management because when the young Marine died, it was a tragedy for all of us. So we really focused on our emergency response to patients that are having critical incidents. We have trained using a simulation dummy as well as a mock code scenarios and what we call the first 5 minutes so that every single clinician, and now we're extending into every person with BLS, has been trained in that first 5 minutes. We are now instituting an ongoing simulation experience that we require of all staff to keep their skill sets up. We have found now that codes are conducted, CPR is initiated within 10 seconds appropriately in all situations. So that has been a marked improvement. The other important strategy that we needed to employ immediately was the oversight of our opioids and benzodiazepines that our patients were receiving. The media did talk quite a bit about the fact that we had high doses of those types of medications being given at the Tomah VA. So we've really focused on bringing them down. We've done some really creative things. One is to put in an opioid safety initiative committee. That was put in 2014, but we've really expanded it. All new physicians or providers have to have oversight for the first at least three months of their practice at the Tomah VA so that we make sure that they are following the protocols that we've established. We have oversight for all of our patients that are on those types of drugs to ensure their safety. Things like making sure urine screens are done appropriately. The contracts are developed with those patients so that they understand the side effects of these medications And most importantly, we have now developed a huge array of alternative methodologies to control pain. We have established what we call a pain university. We are currently writing this up now to spread a strong practice. In this university, patient enrolls as if he were going to college again. So they're required to take your first courses, Pain 101, Pain 102, Pain 201. And when you pass those courses, then you can take electives. And those electives include anything from aquatics or acupuncture, biofeedback. We're looking at massage therapy, aromatherapy, healing touch. We're looking at Trinity. We're working with a possibility of equine therapy with a local person in Eau Claire, Trinity, to see if we can bring, if we have veterans that would benefit from something like that for their PTSD and their depression. It goes on and on and on. We are opening an integrative medicine clinic that will have some of those things as well. So we have an actual area just devoted to those methodologies. So far, approximately 111 veterans have graduated from the program, and we're getting just phenomenal comments from the veterans saying how much they really enjoy this and how much it's meant to them and how much they think that they, you know, that this has helped their pain, because some of the pain will never go away. It'll be chronic. So this is a great achievement. So we're very proud of the Pain University, and we want to continue to build it. So we're working on an innovation grant right now with our network.
I know that Congressman Ron Kind has also, brought up legislation and talked about really focusing on alternative ways to help manage pain other than opioids. I mean, do you feel like this is really, I guess, maybe the future of pain management as more, problems with addiction to prescription pain medications, comes to light and becomes an issue, you know, not only just within the VA system, but just across the country?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to, if you didn't, that this is not just a VA problem. This is something across the country in the private sector as well. So I think it will, because just from the short time that we've been running the Pain University, we have had many inquiries about spreading the news and how we did it and what it entails and what it is. And some of this is not new. People have acupuncture, hospitals offer massage therapy. Putting it together in a curriculum seems to stimulate the veterans to want to stay engaged to the classroom. So it brings more excitement into the classroom. They were not as excited when it was just sitting through classes, even though we have the neuroscience of the brain and how to control pain and those types of things. Mixing it with the electives lets them choose and lets them customize the care that they want to receive. So I think it's all about making it patient-centered, and I think that's what you have to, I believe it's going to be the wave of the future, that we are going to have to practice in a patient-centered way if you want to achieve positive results. If a patient isn't bought in, if they're not engaged, it won't succeed. It's like being on a diet. If you're not buying into it, you're not going to stick to it, it's not going to work, and I can attest to that.
And another part of the 100-day plan, I know, was also, you've already talked about it, working on that relationship with the employees at the Tomo VA and really addressing that. I know that, part of the issues and allegations against former staff at the VA have been that there was a culture of fear that had been developed there. I mean, did you see maybe remnants of this culture of fear when you first came into this position?
Yes, it absolutely was present. The culture was one of fear, retaliation, hostility. We have to own that. We have to own that there was some toxicity in the previous leadership. We have to own that. I personally believe the only way to change that culture is to bring in a group of stable leaders that believes in servant leadership. We have spent hours upon hours upon hours listening to what the staff want. What are the staff afraid of? What do the staff feel needs to happen? We've met with, we have partnered with our labor partners to show a unified front on our vision. We all want the best for the veterans. And in order to do that, you really need to bring up the staff morale, because there is, as evidence shows, a direct correlation between a happy staff person and a happy patient. So really, it is bumping dumping the whole culture. Usually it takes 3 to 5 years to change a culture like that, but we don't have that amount of time. We needed to fix things a lot faster. So this was a huge investment in listening, in rounding, in being available first shift, second shift, third shift, all around the clock to people, getting them to know you very quickly so that they could have some trust and realize, you know, that I was genuine in what I wanted to do and the rest of the leadership team as well. I think, like Stephen Covey has said in his books, you have to put into the bank before you can withdraw. So the first thing we had to do was just spend a lot of time demonstrating visibly to the staff that we were as passionate as they were, that they could trust us, and that we are going to help them change.
And why do you think, you know, it's so important to make sure that there isn't that culture of fear, there isn't that fear of retribution for speaking up about issues?
It's important for patient safety. If you feel, as a staff person, the staff know. These are trained professionals. The staff know what needs to be done. The staff can feel when a process is faulty. The staff can feel when something's not right. The staff are first line out there with the patients. So when a staff person feels something isn't right, or a staff person has a great idea, those are the game changers. So that's why it's really important that they're not afraid to come up and tell you about it. One thing I've done is really open my door to all staff, because I think if a staff is afraid of their manager, that's another issue too. So there have to be ways that staff can come forward without being afraid of a person. We have an anonymous site where staff can put anything they wish in there and bring it forward to our attention so that the leadership gets it immediately and we won't track back where it is. What I do is a weekly newsletter or blog, if you will, where I respond to those kinds of things. I also have a rumor control section. Every month I have an employee town hall, and in it we do rumor control. In the beginning, there was lots of rumors to control. Now it's getting less and less, so I'm taking that as a good sign. But we also will address any rumors anonymously in the bottom of my weekly message as well. So I'm hoping this gets out so that if we do have something bad happen or something is going to come out in the media that's bad, I try and send it out to the employees and say, here's what it is, and here's what the truth is, here's what we need to own, and here's how we move forward. So I think that helps them not... it helps stories not to escalate. It helps the truth to be out there. And the more that people know, the more that we'll keep it real.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about changes at the Thoma VA Medical Center, how new leadership is working to improve relationships with patients and with employees. We're here with Vicki Brahm, Acting Director of the Thoma VA Medical Center. And you mentioned in hosting employee town hall meetings, but I know that you've also hosted town hall forums for, you know, veterans in surrounding communities to come and voice their concerns. You know, what were those meetings like? What was the attendance?
Well, it is all over the map. Some are really, really good, and some I took a little beating, you know. But I think what we've been trying to do is rotate them. So we have some in Thoma VA. We've had one in La Crosse. We've had one in Wausau. We have a new theater that has opened up on the Thoma campus. It's just beautiful. We've had, you know, we plan on having one there. They are attended I'd say about 25 to 40 people will show up at those. They range from veterans, patients that are veterans, veteran service officers, congressional liaisons, and staffers show up. It's open to anyone in the public. There are really great questions. So it's a forum. I usually bring some of my staff in case there's a question that I can't answer. Then my staff will get the number. We will try and get back to you the very next day. Sometimes the questions are tough. Sometimes they're really easy. Sometimes they're very complimentary. Hang in there. Do it. We love what we're doing. So we really try and get a pulse of the public on how we're doing and moving forward. I would say that they're getting better and better and better. I've actually had some people, at one, there was a couple of very angry veterans. I ended up meeting with one in my office, and we came up with some really great ideas on how to make things better. You know, and he's been very satisfied with his care since then. So I really think it's giving the public a face, listening to what's going on there. Mostly if you listen and and look at the processes and look at the situations, you actually can repair a lot of the damage that's been done. So I think the other thing we've done is open a stakeholder meeting now. We have them every quarter as well, where we invite all of our stakeholders that we can think of, because we're not an island unto ourselves, and we really do need the community to help serve the veterans to the best of our ability and capacity. So we try and meet with our stakeholders to see what we're doing. How can we link in with you, the YMCA? How can we link in with homeless programs in the community? How can we support each other to give even better benefits for our veterans? So those stakeholder groups have strengthened dramatically since we've reorganized a bit.
And what have been, you know, the biggest takeaways from these conversations?
Well, the biggest thing that comes out at every single town hall is dissatisfaction with the CHOICE program. That is, in order to help with that, this is a program that has been launched with the VA. There are vendors, and if the VA facility cannot get a veteran the appointment that they wanted within 30 days, then we refer them to CHOICE, which is an outside vendor that tries to get them the care outside of the VA. There have been many, many complaints about that. 80% of our patient rep complaints are about CHOICE. What I've done locally is we've hired over 6 full-time staff and created a group of CHOICE experts. And we just, in the last 2 weeks, opened a clinic for CHOICE at the Tomah VA. So every veteran that we refer to CHOICE is assigned a case manager, if you will, that understands the program so that the veteran can come in and we will help them navigate through the system, because it is confusing for some of the veterans and it does take a long time. So we have a clinic as well. Even if it takes 2 or 3 hours, the veteran will leave with resolution to their appointment. So that's how we're trying to help. The other way, we do input all of the concerns into a database that goes up through the network, VISN 12, and then into central office, so that CHOICE is communicated with in terms of the dissatisfaction with the veterans. Issues like, I'm still waiting for an appointment, I still am waiting for my surgery, those kinds of things, and see if they can get expedited that way. So they're looking for trends and finding ways to better serve the veterans. I know that there have been some changes. For instance, some of the private sector partners were complaining about not being paid fast enough. So now I know there was an action taken at the national level to authorize payment right away, even prior to us getting our records or our charts or those kinds of things. So now, you know, at the local level, now we've instituted other mechanisms to make sure that we get our records, because the number one fear we would have is our veterans being fragmented. I can go into other VAs, I can keep track of my veterans throughout the country, but when they go to the private sector, I really do count on getting those records back so we can make sure that there have been no medication changes, or if there were, that we can adapt to that, results of x-rays, those types of things. Our radiology department at Tomah tracks those x-rays ourselves to make sure that we get timely results in case there would be something that would need to be acted on very quickly. So at the Tomah VA, we've created backup mechanisms to protect our patients just in case something happens to them in another program.
Acting Director of the Tomah VA Medical Center, Vicki Brom, is here with us today to talk about how the medical center has changed in the last year or so, and what's next for the Veterans Hospital. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the Tomah VA. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the Tomah VA Medical Center. What's changed since the death of a Marine Corps veteran that started investigations into potential malpractice and leadership issues almost 2 years ago? And how will the Tomah VA be impacted by continued issues within the VA system? Joining us to talk about these issues is Vicki Brom, Acting Director of the Tomah VA Medical Center. And before the break, you were talking about, you know, a national VA program that's, you know, been having some impacts on a local level. And, you know, I think that there have been quite a few reports nationally of different VA systems, not just the Tomah VA and issues there. You know, how do you think that has impacted the situation in Tomah?
I think that it has led to a general distrust of the public in the VA, and that is a shame, because I think there are very many good news stories. The VA has done massive amounts of research, and they've been able to take veterans as they cohort them in the VA system and learn many things about the Persian Gulf War, about different kinds of entities or diagnostics that can occur with veterans based upon their exposure in wartime. So I think it's a shame that the good news stories don't always seem to get out. I mean, the discovery of the smoking patch, so many things that the VA research has come forward with. VA has been the trainer of almost 75% of doctors at one point or another have trained in a VA system. It's a very cost-effective system in terms of medication management because of the size of the VA and the oversight mechanisms and the sharing of the best practices. So there are so many positive things that come out of the VA that it's a shame that some of the negative media gets so much traction that it changes the public trust in the VA. You're going to have, when you have over 150 hospitals, there are going to be some bad things that happen. That's going to occur anywhere. My thing is that, you know, at least the VA has owned them and moved forward with them and probably improved for the better based upon what we've learned. So everything that we learn and every lesson that we learn, we're able to share across the country to strengthen all of those VAs.
So do you think the issues at Tomah then were just localized, or do you think that they, you know, are maybe characteristic of other issues across the system?
I think when you talk opioid management, that's across the nation, the private sector and local. However, at Tomah, there was a local issue with a local provider, and that provider happened to be a chief of staff. When you're a chief of staff, there's a lot of power that goes with that. So unfortunately, when a leader has aberrant behavior, that becomes very toxic for the organization. The VA in Tomah had to own that. Several leaders were removed. Several people were removed. Some left. So I think we have a clean slate to begin again and renew. So yes, there were local issues. Yes, there are national issues. I think some of the improvements that the Tomah VA has put in place have actually spread throughout the nation, which has benefited more than just one VA. So some of the opioid surveillance, like I said, our pain university, these kinds of things are spreading. Some of the different care mechanisms that we've put in place, these are things that we're spreading now and we're learning from. Other VAs also that have had issues, for instance, with the Phoenix access issue, we have all excelled in access then. We have had a huge focus on the surveillance of access and working with access. The VA's had two stand downs improving access. Tomah VA, I'm really proud to say, is consistently a leader in the nation for access. You can access our primary care in less than 3 days, our specialty care in less than 6 days, and our mental health care in less than 2 days. We can give you immediate treatment for any of those conditions as well through our urgent care or through our nursing telephone triage. So I think that no matter what negative happens, we all can learn, own it, learn it, and improve it.
And so, you know, you've mentioned negative media that's come out about Tomah VA several times. And, you know, most recently, a Senate committee field hearing has also brought to light possible new issues with some of the early investigations that went into Tomah VA and other issues with leadership. Is it frustrating to you that that as you're, you know, this setting in place, the 100-day plan, as these changes are being made, that you know, we seem to keep returning to the issues of the past? Or do you think it's a good thing?
That is easy to answer. It is really frustrating. Every time something like this happens from the past, I have to spend more energy. We really have to get out there and reassure the staff that we need to stay focused and keep moving forward. But every time this happens, there are staff that it opens a wound for this staff. So we really try and have available resources that staff can go to when they feel traumatized. We have employee assistance programs. We have the National Center for Organizational Development, which are psychologists. We have one on station that is helping staff to work through some of these issues, because every time we think we've accepted, we've improved, we've done what it takes to move forward, this comes out and it takes them back. These people lived with it for a couple of years, and so it was a very scary time for them. So it's really not totally healed yet. Although we have the mechanisms in place, I think we also are urging our congressmen, our senators, our media to please help us to make a new start, that we have taken responsibility, we have taken accountability, we have data to show that we are improving, we have veteran service officers, we have disabled American veterans that support us wholly. So we want a new start, and I think that's one message that I'd like to send, is that, you know, we are showing that we can do it, we've accepted what happened, and we are actually doing very well. So I would hope one of the strategies I'd like to see succeed is getting out the good news, getting out the things that have gotten better, getting out the good care that is happening. Because what would be a travesty would be if a veteran didn't seek help at a VA where they could get excellent care.
But do you think that all of those issues are ready to be laid to rest? Do you think that, I mean, the new reports at the Senate field hearing with some of the investigations or issues with not following up on some, you know, possible, you know, misbehavior with different leadership, I mean, is it good that we still are looking into issues of the past?
I think it's good to monitor issues. I think, for instance, with all the opioid issues, we have monitoring in place. I think we should not ever stop looking at this data. I think we should have a backup that looks at this data. We should never stop reporting it. We should continuously improve. I'm sure that we are always in a state of continuous improvement. But what I think has to be let go are some of the toxic individuals that had an influence on this culture are not here anymore. They are gone. So there, that part, you know, I wish could be laid to rest, because they are not anything within our span of control anymore. What we have in our span of control are the practice issues and the accountability and responsibility we have to make sure that the care that our veterans are getting is of the top quality. So I know for a fact we will not stop watching out for those things and watching out for triggers for any, you know, untoward directions that we may need to jump on and improve. But that's just that's managing practice. So I don't think we should forget, and I don't think we should move on like it never happened, but we have put new mechanisms in place and new programs in place that I think are even better for the veterans.
That's Vicki Brahm, Acting Director of the Tomah VA Medical Center, here with us today to talk about improvements at the Tomah VA and what issues still need to be addressed. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so at the Senate field hearing, you know, I was talking with some of the veterans, and I talked with one family who said they've had a positive experience at the Tomah VA hospital. And while they definitely recognize that there have been issues in the past, they, you know, they were at the hearing because they wanted to make sure that their experience was represented as well. How often do you think that happens, that people, you know, have a positive experience, but that isn't necessarily what's talked about?
That happens quite a bit. I can tell you the correspondence that comes through my office, the phone calls that come through my office, the little note cards that veterans can fill out after clinic visits saying how their experience was, even the patient representatives that we have receive many, many positive compliments. I have had so many veterans come in and say, I'm trying to get my story out. How can I do that? How can I help you? One of the things we've done is starting to include veterans on our councils and committees. So we have a patient patient-centered care committee that has two of our veterans on it right now. We have a veteran experience committee where we have a veteran, one of our wounded warriors, that will help us to frame the veteran's experience and make sure we're moving forward in the right direction. We've also invited Mr. and Mrs. Simkowski, our members of that veteran experience council. So we're trying to get our pulse on exactly how we're doing at any point in time. How can we do better? And then we are trying to share the good news stories. We are sending them, we spread them out to the staff. When certain staff get rewards or recognition from a veteran, we send that out to make sure they're aware of it. At the town hall, we give eye care awards. We try and give recognition within the four walls of TOMA. But we're also trying to send the stories out. For instance, when we get all of our Payne University story written, we're going to send that out. We have veterans that have actually asked to come to our town halls and talk to the staff, which is really beneficial for both the staff and the veteran, because it humbles the staff and it reminds us of the mission that we came to the VA to provide. And the veterans come to say thank you, which is amazing for what they've been through. They actually come to thank the staff for what they've done. So it heals both ways. We're just trying to stay very close in touch with our veterans and our staff, and I think that bonds us as a family.
How much do you think that your job since coming into the VA since last October has been almost public relations? I mean, you talked about, reaching out to the Y or other community organizations and developing new relationships with them, reaching out to the veterans, reaching out to patients. You know, how much has that been your job?
That's a great question. I believe that a high percentage of what I do is visibility, getting people, whoever they may be, stakeholders, the community, our staff, our veterans. If people know you and they can see that you're passionate and they can see that you're truthful and you have integrity, people will start to form other judgments. We have to get out there in the community. People have got to meet TOMA VA. They've got to see the kinds of people that work there and the kinds of treatment that are provided and the kinds of veterans we're helping. Because we're all in the same place. I know that a lot of the community people want to do the same thing. They're always trying to help. How can we help veterans? How can we fight homelessness? How can we do these things? So together, we would be a great unified force. I have to thank the Simkowskis as well, because after that tragic loss, they have actually helped the VA to do better and to be part of it and have been great supporters of our movement forward. I believe that people need to see and experience the TOMA VA, and there's no way to do that unless you reach out, unless you tell the stories, unless you're transparent, the good and the bad. Yes, here's the bad, and here's what we're fixing. That's how people start to trust in you.
And so you're working to reopen the acute psychiatric inpatient unit in TOMA. Do you want to kind of take us back, and when did that unit first close, and kind of what's been happening since then?
It closed in 2015, right around October 2015, from lack of psychiatric staffing. That was the problem. That is another untoward effect of negative media. It was very hard. At that point, there were quite a few providers that left the VA at that time, and staff. So one of the hardest obstacles I've had to overcome with my leadership team is, how do you recruit and retain quality staff after having experienced a very public debacle that we did? So we have had to rebuild our reputation. We've had to do many, many recruitment strategies, get our story out there. We've offered bonuses. We've offered creative hours, 12-hour shifts, 10-hour shifts. We've offered come in on the weekends, locum tenens kinds of things. And we were finally able to recruit enough staff, stable staff, quality stable staff. We were very picky, so that we are very comfortable opening our psychiatric mental health unit on July 5th. We are having an open house on June 27th prior to opening. This is really important for our community as well, because there are severely mentally ill people that really, really need help. And one of the things that isn't healthy is to be receiving your primary care and then be involved with many, many different facilities when you need urgent, emergent care. So having that acute mentally ill unit open again will help our veterans when they need that acute care, if they feel suicidal, if there is some acute process going on, and they'll be with a familiar staff that have been with them, some for many years. So this is a really happy thing that's happening. There have also been improvements made in the unit. We took the opportunity while the unit was closed to make improvements. So we have surveillance, better surveillance. We have more comfortable mattresses. That sounds funny, but, you know, the guys were complaining. So we have all new, really comfy mattresses. We have a no-smoking policy now that we're going to be implementing, that there will be education going out to the community and the veterans now, because prior to that, there was not a no-smoking policy, and it was difficult with veterans in and out of the unit, and very difficult for us to staff that, as well as not being healthy. So we are going to pilot a no-smoking program in our acute mental health unit as of July 5th. That's one of the reasons we're only opening 7 out of the 11 beds right away, to see how that goes. In addition to a full-time psychiatrist, we have a full-time mental health nurse practitioner and a full-time medical nurse practitioner for primary medical care, as well as a full complement of nursing staff. So we're very excited. Our nursing staff was very frustrated, and we were at, I'll be honest, we were at risk of losing some, because when the unit closed, they were dispersed to other areas of the hospital to work. But if you're a mental health nurse, you want to be working in mental health. So they are thrilled to be back.
Mm-hmm. And have there been other units that have, experienced this maybe losing staff, or also just maybe needing a bit of a facelift, you know?
Yes, we had a few units that our turnover rate in nursing actually was the lowest in the bottom 10% of the country. And I think there is a correlation between what has been occurring over the past 2 years and what we are experiencing now. Our turnover rate, 2014, our turnover rate was greater than 18%. And I am really thrilled that as of this week, we are down to 10%, which is phenomenal. I am so excited, because I'm a nurse and you can see me laughing right now. But that is great, because that is going to help our stability. One of the things we've done in our strategic plan, we're in the process of doing, is redefining who all of our patient populations are, because a nurse isn't a nurse isn't a nurse. So we are defining it. If this is a dementia unit, then you want nurses trained in dementia that take care of dementia patients. If this is acute mental health, then you want mental health trained nurses that know how to do PMDB, that know how to do preventive, that know how to handle very difficult, sometimes physical challenges with patients. You want them highly trained for that. So I'm pleased that we are getting the hospital so restructured that it is population-based and the staff well-trained to be in those areas. That also helps their retention. If I'm trained to handle dementia patients, that's what I love to do, then that's where I want to work. When you end up being short-staffed and rotate nurses, it is a big dissatisfier. So that is another way we're becoming much more stable.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about changes at the Tomah VA Medical Center, how new leadership is working to improve relationships with patients and with employees. We're here with Vicki Brahm, Acting Director of the Tomah VA Medical Center. Do you think that there are challenges when working with within the VA system that aren't experienced at a nonprofit or a commercial hospital?
There's pros and cons. Sometimes when you have a huge system and you try and roll out one standard process, there could be difficulties. For instance, some process that might work at a very urban, high complexity hospital may not work at the Tomah VA in a very rural setting. We would have more obstacles to accomplishing some of those same goals. So you really do, even though you're in a big system, every hospital has its own personality, and every hospital will have to incorporate policies in their own customized way. There are standards. There is much to say and a lot of positivity surrounding having one standard of practice. So I think what you need to do in a huge system is set a minimal standard of practice and then it needs to get customized at a higher level based on the abilities of that particular or complexity of that particular medical center. The other issue is that it's pros that you can work out many of the glitches in piloting at one medical center and spread to others. So the benefit of having many hospitals is that we can be testing many different processes in small settings and then spread many more. The hard thing is that you're spreading across a nation. So you're dealing with geographic factors, you're dealing with cultural changes, you're dealing with many different variances across the country. I think what's really a positive for a big system like the VA is that it talks to each other. So no matter where a veteran goes in the country, no matter where, we know what's happening. They can pop in, if a veteran from Toma pops into Palo Alto, Florida, his care will be there. Palo Alto will know what meds he's on. Palo Alto will know his doctor's number. Palo Alto will have extreme access to all of his medical information. So you can travel, you can be a snowbird, you can have a country at your service. So that's the positive thing with having a big VA system.
I think that it's a pretty common, you know, misconception that when people think of veterans hospitals, they think of older veterans and people from previous wars. But I mean, how often are you also reaching out and helping young veterans in our communities?
So actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because in my listening sessions with veterans, one of the things that came up is that the younger veterans have felt that they weren't as comfortable in some of the settings as the older veterans for many reasons. Some that they feel that if they're not in a wheelchair or they don't look sick, that people don't treat them as if they are sick. Some of our younger veterans are in great shape, and if you don't know what's wrong with them, you wouldn't be able to tell by looking at them. So they don't feel, sometimes they get the attention because they seem healthy on the outside. Some of them feel that if they're dealing with PTSD or depression and they see the older veterans after years and they still like to come to the VA, and many of them come just to have the camaraderie, they sometimes feel maybe they won't get better. So they don't know enough about the system. So what we've done is launched an initiative to focus on our younger veterans. We are currently doing OEF-OIF focus groups to hear what would make you more comfortable with the VA, what kinds of things would you need to see at the VA, how should we be communicating with you, so that we can make decisions out of our Veteran Experience Council and how Toma VA can better serve these younger veterans. We're trying to change some of our waiting rooms to have things to do in them that are more interesting. We're also looking at what kind of weekend programming and evening programming we have. We have many things to do. We have a bowling alley. We have pool tables. We have many things to do, but we're still hearing it's not enough. So what more can we do to keep it exciting for those veterans that are in our residential programs for 45 or 90 days trying to overcome challenges? So that is one of our number one priorities right now, is trying to make the younger veteran feel at home and want to use the VA system.
And so what's next for the facility as a whole? I know we've talked a lot about, you know, changes that have been made and steps to move forward, but, you know, what's next on your to-do list?
We have so many things, what I call our parking lot. So when we were doing our strategic plan, you can only bite off so much and accomplish it. And so, unfortunately, because of what Toma went through, we really had to stick to some fundamental kinds of changes, build the trust, build the foundation so that we can do even greater things. So we're getting to a point where we can start to update our strategic direction now that we've got this foundation in place that's seamless and flowing and accomplishing goals, to look at even higher aspirations. So we do have many things in our parking lot that we'd like to try, new programming in place. One of the things that we are really focusing on is our PAC teams. Those are our primary care teams. And giving a care at a patient-centered care level and strengthening the relationship with the veteran guiding his care with a multidisciplinary team that they can, and also integrating mental health into that team. So we are really taking a look at the efficiency, the makeup, the relationship of our PAC teams with our veterans. That's a priority for us right now. We're also looking at more interdisciplinary case management learning sessions. So we'd like to have more of the disciplines be able to do some research, if you will, on cases and then spread the learning lessons from each of those cases to the other providers. We are working on moving. We are not going to be applying for magnet status, but we are developing a pathway to excellence for our nursing staff. So we're creating a structure where nurses feel empowered to guide their practice, to make practice decisions, and to put the power at the direct care level. So we're working on more of the spread so that our direct staff have more say in what goes on. So all those things are like next, coming up next. And as we do that, and as the enthusiasm builds, we're going to be getting more and more ideas of how to make this a better place, the number one place that you want to work.
We've been talking with Acting Director Vicki Brahm of the Tomah VA Medical Center about improvements to the Veterans Hospital over the past year or so and what's next for the center in Tomah. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. John Gatto is the executive producer for Newsmakers. John Davis is our senior news editor and producer, and Matt Clark is our student producer. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.